Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3, for those of you that were in the Sunday school class pre-COVID, I'll say, back in the back, been about a year and a half ago, this is where we were. This is where we were in our study of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Question. Where was Paul at when Paul wrote this letter? Prison. Paul was in jail. Paul was in jail when he wrote this. Do you know why he wrote it? Or not the why he wrote it, but why he was in prison. You know why he was in prison? For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Paul was in prison for what he was preaching. Listen, folks. I believe events like that are going to become more and more common, okay? Pastors are going to be jailed for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. It's an attack on Christianity. Actually, it's an attack on Jesus Christ, okay? But I believe we're going to see more and more pastors. This is what's going to happen. Because of the way our world's going. But you can preach about God, okay? You can preach about God. You could talk about heaven, okay? But you start talking about Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to heaven, that's where you're going against all the other religions, and you're becoming intolerant, okay? And Paul's in jail because of what he was preaching, okay? The jails back then weren't like they are today. None of the comforts that they have today. Listen, friends, don't be afraid when God allows you to go into some kind of unpleasant situation, okay? Don't be afraid, okay? Are they hard? Are they hard times? You bet they are. Okay? James. I want you to turn to book. I said Philippians chapter 3, but I want to look at James quick. Turn to James chapter 1. Go to the right in your Bible. You got Hebrews and you got James. I want you to look at James chapter 1 real quick, and then we're going back to Philippians chapter 3. James chapter 1. James says, my brethren, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay? Evidently, who James was writing to here, they were going through some kind of testing. He says, my brethren, there in verse 2, he says, my brethren, he's writing to Christians, folks. Okay, he's writing to Christians, he's writing to his brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay, when, not if you fall, or it's when. Expect them, folks. Expect trials, okay? Christians are not exempt, okay? It's a part of life. Expect those trials. Expect those troubles. It's a part of life. James says, count it all joy, okay? Count it all joy when you are going through a trial, not because you're going through a trial, okay? Not because you're going through some painful time. Those aren't fun. Okay, those aren't fun. James says, count it all joy. Don't look at the trial, folks. Okay? Don't look at the trial. Look at what's taking place, folks. Okay? Look at what's taking place while you're in the trial. Look at what's taking place in the people around you while they're in that trial, okay? What comes out of that trial? Look at what comes out of that trial, okay? Count it all joy. Count it all joy that God would consider you to be used. Okay? God would consider you to be used to further his plans. Okay? He says, verse 3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay? Proving, it's what he's saying here, knowing that the proving of your faith, okay, the proving of your faith produces endurance, produces perseverance. Then he says here in verse 4, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. You may mature, okay? You may mature and complete, lacking nothing, okay? We don't know, folks, God's purpose for allowing troubles to come into our lives, but we can know, okay? We can know what he wants to come from those trials, okay? We can know what he wants to come from those trials. He wants to drive us to prayer, okay? He wants to drive us to more dependence on him. Okay, more dependence on him. Paul's in jail. Okay, I read where Paul, when he was in jail, Paul was chained to a guard for hours at a time. I thought, how would you like to be chained to the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Bible preacher. The greatest Bible preacher aside from Jesus Christ himself. How would you like to be chained to that man for hours at a time? Okay? I'm sure Paul would rather not have been there, but sometimes God allows us, puts us in situations that aren't very pleasant, folks. Okay? Paul's in one of them. He tells us, he says, count it all joy. Okay? Count it all joy. Back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at the first 9 verses. He says, finally, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellencies of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Okay? I want to go back and start at verse 1. I want to go down through these through these verses. Paul warned the Philippians before, and he doesn't have a problem to do it again, folks, okay? Verse 12, he says, for me, to write the same things to you, it's not tedious, but for you it's safe. Look at verse 2 there, he says, beware three times. Beware the dogs, beware the evil workers, beware the mutilation, beware three tongues. What he's saying here, folks, is it's no problem for me to write this. I want to protect you. Okay? I want to protect you. Those of you that were in the Sunday school class in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says to the elders, to the leaders of the church, he says, shepherd the church. Okay? He tells them, he says, shepherd the church, pastor the flock. Okay? A shepherd cares for the sheep. Okay? Cares for the sheep. He protects his sheep. He guides them. Sometimes there's discipline. Sometimes there's discipline involved. Paul says here, he says, I want to protect you. Okay? I want to protect you. Beware. And in verse 2, he tells us here who he wants to protect them from. Look what he says here. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Okay? I like how Paul is a black and white type guy, I know. Just from reading his books that he wrote, it's black and white. There's no gray hairs, okay? Doesn't beat around the bush. He tells it like it is, okay? He says to the Philippians, he said, beware of the dogs, okay? Beware of dogs. He's not talking about your pet dogs here, folks, okay? He's talking about men, okay? He's talking about men. He's talking about false teachers, and he refers to them as dogs here, okay? He says, beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. Beware of these false teachers, church. Okay? Protecting them. He's protecting them. Folks, we need more pastors. We need more men in the pulpits of churches who aren't afraid to give warnings. Okay? Not afraid to step on toes. Not afraid to say, this is what the Bible says. Okay? We need pastors like that preach from the Word of God, okay? Pray for them men, okay? Pray for them men. Encourage them men, okay? Let me tell you, we have one here, folks, okay? I've sat in many a meeting and spent much time in prayer with this man, okay? He loves you people. He loves his church, okay? He loves his church. You show me a pastor that doesn't hesitate to preach the Word of God, and I'll show you a pastor that loves his church. And when I'm talking about his church, I'm talking about you people sitting in the people that attend there. Okay, he loves you folks. Okay, but Paul says, look, Philippians. He says in verse 2, he says, beware. Okay, now what these false teachers were telling these people, they need to observe the law, okay? They need to observe the law, all the different ceremonies, all the different holy days, all the different sacrifices, and to be circumcised, okay? In order to become a child of God, they need to follow the rules, okay? There's rules, and you need to follow them and observe all these different ceremonies. Now, back in Genesis chapter 17, we're not going to turn back there, but Genesis chapter 17, God told Abraham that all males of Israel had to be circumcised. Okay, every male had to be circumcised on the eighth day after they were born. It was a covenant. Okay, it was a covenant between God and Abraham. Okay, being circumcised identified them as a seed of Abraham. Very important, okay? Keep that in mind, very important, a descendant of Abraham, okay? This was very important to the Jewish people, okay? These teachers thought that because they were circumcised, because they obeyed all the laws, the different ceremonies, and all the holy days, they were God's chosen people, okay? All those outward signs, okay? All these outward signs. In other words, do good, okay? Do good. Earn your salvation. The problem was, folks, all those outward signs didn't change the inward man, didn't change the heart, okay? Didn't change the heart. Paul comes along and he's preaching salvation by grace plus nothing, okay? Salvation by grace plus nothing. And that's what he's addressing here in Philippians, okay? We all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it's for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Listen, not of works, okay? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not of works, okay? And that's the complete opposite of what Paul was teaching, okay? Complete opposite of what these teachers were teaching, and this was causing problems in the church, okay? Verse 3. Verse 2, Paul says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? Paul says, we are the circumcision. Okay? He's including himself here, folks. Christian, talking about circumcision. Christian circumcision is a spiritual removal of sin from the heart. Okay? Spiritual removal of sin from the heart happens when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's when that happens. Okay? The circumcised is the true child of God. Okay? Keep that in mind as we're going down through here. The circumcised is the true child of God, has been cleansed from sin. And Paul's going to give us here, he says, there's three characteristics of a true believer in Jesus Christ. Look what he says here. For we are the circumcision, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay, so he says, the first thing there, so he says, is we worship God, worship God in the Spirit. Okay, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit takes residence in here, folks. Okay, takes residence in here. When we truly worship God, it starts right here. It comes from in here. Okay, true worship comes from the heart, generated by the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Okay, generated by the Holy Spirit. True worship comes from a new heart, okay? From a new heart, okay? The unsaved can't truly worship God. It's all external. But the circumcised worship God from the heart, okay? And it comes from a new heart, okay? He says, the second thing he says there, the circumcised, he says, who worship God in spirit, who rejoice. Okay? Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Rejoice, boast. Okay? For the word rejoice there, some versions use the word boast. Boast. We boast in Christ Jesus. Any good, folks, this man can do, all the glory goes to Jesus Christ. Okay? Same for you. Any good you can do, all the glory should go to Jesus Christ. It's not about us. Okay? It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Okay? It's about Jesus. And again, that comes from a new heart. Okay? That comes from a new heart. And when you get that new heart is when you accept Jesus Christ. Okay? third thing he says there, he says to the circumcised, he said, we have no confidence in the flesh, okay? As we're going to see, as we go on down through this here, we're going to see that that's what it was about for the Jews, okay? That's what it was about. To the Jew, it was about being physically circumcised. It was about keeping all the different ceremonies and different sacrifices and such. Doing all those outward, again, all those outward things. Again, being a descendant of Abraham, earning your salvation, okay? Truly those that are saved do not trust in anything to earn our salvation, okay? There's nothing we can do. Just like we read in Ephesians chapter 2 there, there's nothing we can do. No works, okay? Isaiah tells us in chapter 64, verse 6, all our righteousness, okay? All our righteousness are like filthy rags. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says, for I know that in my flesh, this is the Apostle Paul telling us this, I know that in my flesh nothing good dwells, okay? Nothing good dwells. Do we fall as Christians? Yes. Yes, we do. Do we stumble? Yes, we do. But does a Christian live a life of sin? No way. Okay? A Christian will not live in sin. A Christian will not live a life of sin. We put no confidence in the flesh. Okay? If there's a person that could have confidence in the flesh, it would have been Paul. Okay? It would have been the Apostle Paul. In verses 5 and 6 here, let's look at verses 5 and 6. He gives us some of his credentials. Okay? he says, if anyone, in the middle of verse 4 there, he says, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the stock of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, he said, I'm a Pharisee. Okay? Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. Okay? I was blameless. So he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. We said about the circumcision, that was a strict Jewish rite. All males born on the eighth day after they were born, they were circumcised. Being circumcised again was was a sign of being God's people. Okay, he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. He says, I'm of the stock of Israel. Okay, I'm of the stock of Israel. Okay, the Jews, we know the Jews are God's chosen people. Paul says, I'm one of them. Okay, I'm one of them. I come from the nation of Israel. Okay, I'm of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, big deal. Okay, it was a big deal. He says, I was circumcised, I'm the stock of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Like I said, you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Benjamin would have been Jacob and Rachel's son. Okay, Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife. He had to work for Rachel for 14 years so he could have her as his wife. Benjamin would have been Jacob's last son. Okay, he would have been Jacob's last son, his favorite son. Okay, the first king of Israel came from the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, it's a big deal. Okay, this is a big deal. He says, I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Hebrew child of Hebrew parents. Okay, he wasn't a mixed breed. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Both his parents were Hebrews. Stuck to all the Jewish traditions. Okay, stayed true to his to his Jewish heritage. Those first four things there, those first four things, circumcision, the circumcision, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew. That's how he was born, okay? He was born. Those first four things had to do with his birth, okay? Had to do with his birth. Going on down through there, he says, concerning the law, he said, I was a Pharisee. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. In Acts chapter 23, Paul says, I'm a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. So his dad, Paul's dad, was also a Pharisee. Now, in the religion of Judaism, okay, you couldn't get any higher than the achievement than as a Pharisee. Okay, you couldn't get any higher than a Pharisee. These fellows, they were men. They were religious radicals. Okay, they were the religious radicals, legalists. Okay, they stuck to the law. They strict adherence to the law. Okay, that's how you got saved, according to them. That's how you got saved. Pleasing God by obeying the law, okay? When it came to the law, Paul knew it, okay? Paul knew it, and he obeyed it. He goes on here, he says, concerning zeal, he said, I persecuted the church. All you got to do, folks, is looking at Acts, okay? Look at the book of Acts before Paul's conversion, okay? He's the one who witnessed Stephen's killing. Okay, he had Christians killed for their faith. Okay, he was thinking when he was doing that, he was thinking he was doing God a favor. Okay, he was doing God a favor by persecuting the church. He says concerning righteousness. He said concerning righteousness, which is in the law. He said I was blameless. Okay, I'm blameless. These last three, well, let me go on down through here. He said, outwardly, you could find nothing. You could find nothing against Paul. Okay? Paul lived according to the law. He was blameless. Seven things. Okay? The first four I said were things had to do with his birth. Okay? These last things, the last three are works-related things. Okay? Works-related things. Paul thought he could earn his salvation. This is what he trusted in. And as I said earlier, if anyone could be saved by being a religious person, Paul was that man. Okay? Paul was that man. Listen, folks, my parents have been, and I'll say it this way, my parents have been saved maybe 65, 70 years, okay? I don't know, I'm using those numbers, but 65, 70 years, I had grandparents that were saved. I had great-grandparents that were saved. You know what that means for me, salvation-wise? Nothing. Doesn't mean a thing, okay? Now, don't get me wrong here. There's advantages, okay? There's advantages growing up in a Christian home. There certainly is. When I was exposed to the Bible at an early age, okay, when the doors were open, the doors of the church were open, Todd was there, okay? Todd was there. Listen, I'll say this to Pine Glen. You might be a charter member of Pine Glen Alliance Church, okay? You might have went through the church membership class, okay? You can say, I was baptized, Todd. I'm a religious person, and that's good stuff, okay? I'm not saying it isn't, but it is good stuff. But none of that means, folks, none of that means a person is truly saved. okay, doesn't mean a person is a child of God, okay? To Paul, those seven things there, okay, were important, okay? To the Jew, those things were important, but as we're going to see as we go on down through here, it meant nothing, okay? It meant nothing. Look at verse 7 here. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. What things were gained to me, these things, talking about his birth, his education, his religious training, okay, those things Paul thought were important, okay? He says here in the end of verse 7, he says, these I have counted loss for Christ. Okay? These I have counted loss for Christ. Before he met Christ on the Damascus Road, these seven things were very, very important to Paul. Again, this is what Paul was trusting in for his salvation. And then he met Christ. Then he met Christ on the road to Damascus. He says, I lost them all. Okay? They're no longer important. These are no longer important. He says here in verse 8, he says, yet indeed, verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Okay? He said, not only do I count all of them things there, those seven things, as loss, okay, but I count everything else in life as loss. Okay? Remember back in verse 3, Paul said, for we are the circumcision. Okay? We are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? True Christians put no confidence in the flesh, folks. Trust in nothing to earn salvation. Okay? And again, if anyone could have, Paul would have been that man. Okay? Trust in nothing to earn salvation. Okay? He lost a lot. Paul lost a lot when he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. We know from verse 5 there, he was a Pharisee. Okay? Being a Pharisee was a big deal. Okay? He was a Pharisee. Considered in that time, he would have been considered an upstanding citizen. Probably came from a well-to-do family. We know from his education and such. He was a well-educated man. When he met Christ, he says, I have suffered the loss of all things. Suffered the loss. This, like I said, this was a big deal to Jew to give all this up. Paul went from living in upper class lifestyle to living a life of poverty, a life of hunger. We know Paul was a tent maker. Okay? Paul was a tent maker. Now he's in prison. Okay? You read, I think it's 2 Corinthians, Paul tells about a lot of things he went through during his ministry. He was beaten, he was stoned, and you know, such and such. But now he's in prison. Okay? He went from that upper lifestyle to being in prison. Okay? Whatever the comforts of life he had before his conversion, gave them up. And he gave them up for Christ. Okay? I read when a Jew accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, their family, it was as if they were dead. Okay? Paul would have been disowned. But he says, I count it a joy to lose all that I had, okay? All that he was, he counts it a joy to lose it all for Jesus Christ. Okay? To lose it all for Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, what does it profit a man? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Okay? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will it profit a man if he has all that this world has to offer? Dies and goes to hell. Okay? Paul had it all. He says, I'll give it up in exchange for my soul. Okay? Paul says, I'll give it up in exchange for my soul. All that he was counting on, again, all that he was counting on for his salvation, he says it's rubbish. It's useless. No value at all. Okay? Let's go on down through here. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Okay, remember what we said about the Pharisees. Okay, they were the religious radicals. They were the super spiritual. Okay, saved by works, saved by keeping the law. Keeping the law equaled salvation. Okay, keeping the law equaled salvation. Being right with God was by works. Okay, good deeds. Paul was trusting in his own righteousness. Okay, in his own righteousness to save himself. When he came to Christ, all his righteousness was rubbish. Okay? All his righteousness was as filthy rags. Listen, folks, again, remember Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Okay? Not of works. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. Okay? The righteousness that saved is not the righteousness that saves is not a works righteousness. Okay? It's not a works righteousness. It's in fact it's the complete opposite. Okay? It's a complete opposite of what Paul thought before his conversion. Okay? All the other religions in the world, okay, say the same thing. Do this, do this, do this, and you'll be accepted by God. Okay? Works. Works. Paul turned from his own righteousness to the righteousness of Christ. He says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Okay? True righteousness, folks, is not from works. True righteousness is not of works. Okay? It's from God through Jesus Christ. Okay? I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, you're in Philippians, turn back to the left. Not very far. You'll come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about this righteousness. True righteousness is not of works. It's from God through Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, For he made him, God made him, meaning Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay? Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. Okay, who knew no sin, he was sinless. Okay, Jesus Christ was sinless, became your sin, became my sin. Okay, became the sins of the world. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Okay, the payment for sin is death. Ezekiel tells us the person who sins will die. Okay, the person who sins will die. Romans 3 verse 23 says all have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means who? All. Okay, that includes you. That includes this guy. Okay, all means all. Includes us all. We're all sinners. We're all born in sin. Okay? God's holy. Okay? God's holy. He cannot look on sin. Okay? Cannot look on sin. Sin has to be punished. Sin had to be punished. And if he punished us for our sins, okay, we would be in hell. Okay? We would be in hell, but he didn't, folks. It's a great news. He didn't. It says he made him, God made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Okay? Calvary. At Calvary, God treated Jesus Christ as if he were guilty of all sins ever committed. My sin, your sin, past, present, future, all sin, okay? All sin was transferred to Christ at Calvary. All your sin, Christ paid the debt that you couldn't pay. And then he says, there, at the end of verse 21, he says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Very important, folks. Okay? Very important. All our sin, just like all your sin was transferred to Christ on the cross. Okay? All our sin was transferred to Christ at Calvary. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, okay, all his righteousness is transferred to you. You understand what I'm saying there? On Calvary, Christ took all your sin. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all his righteousness is transferred to you. Okay? All his righteousness is transferred to us. The only way you and I can stand before a holy God is in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, folks. Okay? There's nothing good in us. Nothing good. Paul seen that. Okay? All that he was counting on in pre-conversion, okay? Rubbish. Okay? It was rubbish. The righteousness God required, okay? The righteousness God required, he provides in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? When God looks at you as a believer in Jesus Christ, okay, he sees Christ's righteousness. Doesn't see you. Okay? Not yours. Okay? You're right with God because of Christ. Not anything you can do. Not anything you have done. Okay? You're right with God. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're right with him because of Christ and Christ alone. Okay? And what Christ has done. Sin debt. Sin debt has been paid. Okay? Do we mess up again? Yes, we do. Okay? We do. And this side of heaven, okay? This side of heaven, this flesh takes control. Okay? As I said, though, a Christian will not live a life of sin. Okay, we don't have to. But when we do, When we do, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. Okay? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Okay? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. As Christians, we want to honor him. Okay? We want to honor him in the way we live. Okay? I'll say this in closing. If you're trusting in anything or trusting in anyone, okay, for your salvation other than Jesus Christ, you're lost. Okay? You're lost. I said about Paul being black and white, that's what the Bible says. Okay? You're lost. And if you died today in that condition, you would spend eternity in hell. Okay? Anything I can boast about, anything I think would earn favor with God, okay? Anything I think is earning my salvation, Paul says it's rubbish. It's rubbish. And again, it's all about Christ, folks. Okay? It's nothing about us. It's in Christ's righteousness. It's in his righteousness that we stand, that we will stand before God, not your own. Okay? Not your own. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay? I beg you, folks. Don't leave here today. Don't go out of this building without doing so. Okay? There's people sitting all through this sanctuary that they'll sit and talk with you. Okay? They'll sit and talk with you. They'll pray with you. They'll explain the scripture. They'll show you from the scriptures what you must do. Okay? Let's pray.